pray this morning. Lord, I just thank you so much for Wes and calling him here to Lafayette to serve those among us that we often walk by and don't see and sometimes don't even think about, Lord. So help us this morning with eyes to see you and ears to hear you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would break down the stereotypes that we have, break down the false images that we have, break down the partisanship that often we carry when thinking about those that are less fortunate. And Lord, I pray that you'd build up within us today a spirit of love, a spirit after your own heart for those in this world, Lord, that we don't often see, and that we'd have eyes to see them with fresh vision after hearing your word this morning. I pray for Wes, Lord, this morning as he preaches, that you would give him your words. Holy Spirit, be his teacher, be our teacher, and guide our time this morning, I pray, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. One of my great joys in being executive director of Lafayette Urban Ministry is going around to various churches and just seeing what's going on. And I'm just really encouraged by this congregation and the health I see, all the things that you're trying to do to focus on building up as disciples of Christ and investing into the world and praying for the world. So, well done. I'm sincere about that. I just think you're really doing good work. So my name is Wes. This is my home team here. I have a picture of my family. So I have four kids. My kids are in the Harrison school system. I have a junior and a freshman. My youngest son just turned 9 yesterday. My youngest daughter will turn 10 tomorrow. So we're in the midst of a busy birthday week. I serve at Lafayette Urban Ministry. A lot of people know that we are a shelter by night, but don't know that we do a lot of other things during the day. We see our vision. We are a faith-based, community-wide effort to tackle basic human needs and uplift the people of Greater Lafayette. So we're very focused on Tippecanoe County and serving the people that are living in Tippecanoe County. Riverside has been a part of this for years with Jubilee Christmas. I've been through here for your Jubilee Christmas. You guys do an amazing job. One of the things we hear often from our clients and guests at LUM is we would not be where we are without your help. We are intentionally trying to meet people where they are and uplift them, and you have been a part of that, and I want to say thank you for uplifting people. Thank you for doing Jubilee Christmas. I have talked with others who are involved in some of these other programs, serving food or serving a meal at our shelter or being part of the tax assistance program. Your Leanna Giltmeyer works at LUM, and she is an absolute force for the good there. She is just a remarkable person. I love working with Leanna. Why do we do what we do at LUM? Well, I want to read a passage of scripture where Jesus talks about how we treat the least of these is how we treat God himself. This is the key text for Lafayette Urban Ministry. We've been around for 52 years, so long before I was a part of the organization, LUM decided that this teaching from Jesus in Matthew 25, this is the baseline. This is why we do what we do. And I think Jesus has a lot to say about proximity in this passage. We'll say a little more about that later. So, following up on what Pastor Ara was saying, I'm encouraged that LUM and Riverside Covenant seem to be coming closer together in a closer relationship. And we have about 50 churches now that are LUM member churches. What does that mean? Well, we've got a huge board. We've got 50 people on our board because every congregation that is a LUM member church has a person that is on the board representing that congregation. So Riverside has already done some of this stuff. I would hope you would agree with our mission of restoring human dignity. We have the longest mission statement I've ever seen of any organization. It's 3 paragraphs long, but the heart of it is restoring human dignity. And then we ask that every LUM member church has some skin in the game when it comes to money and time. That could be $1 a year, it could be 1 hour a year, but we want the congregation to be on the ground serving the people. You're already doing that. You're already doing that with Jubilee Christmas, and a variety of your other people are serving in many ways. So the missing piece is that person who will be the LUM board rep, number four there. Somebody that your congregation says, yes, go, and you will be our LUM board rep for this calendar year. Go to the board meetings, pray for the organization, represent Riverside Covenant at that table. And then once those pieces are in place, the LUM board says, yes, you're in. So far, we haven't chased anybody off, so I don't think there's any danger of that. I want to read the passage that I mentioned earlier. And as I read this, I encourage you to listen for what Jesus has to say about proximity. This is, in a little bit of context, this is the very last story, last teaching Jesus gives before he begins his passion, his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. So oftentimes, if you know you're, as Jesus did, going to be facing the end of your life, maybe save the best for last and say what is most important. So we pick up the passage, Matthew 25, starting verse 31. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these sisters or brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' They also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?' He will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." Let's pause and pray, ask God for insight into this. Jesus, your word cuts like light, like a knife through all of the thick darkness and gray of this world, and we pray that you would just penetrate the darkness with your light. As we lean into this profound teaching, this troubling and inspiring teaching, pray, Holy Spirit, you would give us your heart for the least of these. In Jesus' name, amen. On Halloween afternoon, this past fall, I was walking through a neighborhood in downtown Lafayette, and there was a man lying flat on his back on the grass next to the sidewalk. And he had a hood pulled up completely over his eyes. He had a few bedraggled items in a cart behind him. He was clearly experiencing homelessness, and it was freezing cold outside, starting to snow. I was not at all drawn to this person. I had places to go, things to do. But here was a person clearly in need. What was I going to do? What should I do? I'm fascinated that in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus doesn't say that how you treat other people is like how you treat God. He says how you treat other people is how you treat me, how you treat God himself. Whatever you do for the least of these sisters and brothers of mine, you do for me. I struggle with that, but I think it holds true throughout the scripture, because there was once this man who hated followers of Jesus. He persecuted them. I mean, not just make fun of them on social media and stuff, kind of, but he would like imprison them and seek to have them killed. He was on his way to go persecute some more Christians, and he got knocked off his high horse, literally, by a light from heaven. And he hears Jesus saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Not, "Why do you persecute my people?" but "Why do you persecute me?" How we treat God's people, how we treat other human beings, is how we treat God himself. I draw some of my inspiration in my work at LUM from a lady named Mother Teresa, who died a couple decades ago. And she served the poorest of the poor in a megacity in India, in Calcutta. And she took Jesus' words in Matthew 25 very literally. She said that what kept her serving people in all of these impossible situations was that she knew that when she was serving the poor, she was serving Jesus himself. One of her quotes was, "When we serve the poor, we serve Jesus. But he comes to us in the most distressing disguises." That resonates with me. Jesus in his distressing disguises. Sometimes people would ask Mother Teresa, "What keeps you motivated?" And she would sometimes grab somebody's hand and squeeze each finger, and she would say five words: "You did it to me." She's quoting Matthew 25. She's quoting Jesus. "You did it to me." I think she's brilliant, because it's kind of weird to have somebody grab your hand and start squeezing your fingers so you remember this. But "you did it to me." That's what motivated her. She loved Jesus Christ. And she knew that serving the poor, what she was doing, to how she was treating them, she was serving Jesus himself. Jesus was proximate right there. In her serving of that human being. So I wonder, can I see Jesus in the human being right in front of me? Can I see the image of God in that person right in front of me? They are a child of God, made in the image of God, whether I see it or feel it or not. And this seems to be especially true, according to Jesus, when we serve the least of these. The least of these. Yes, those who are financially poor, but the powerless, the vulnerable, the lonely, the overlooked, the rejected. They is Jesus. So if we want to be proximate to Jesus, we could be proximate to people who have nothing. People who can't possibly repay us for our kindness. I admit that this is hard. Living a life of love is not an easy thing to do. Yet all throughout Scripture, the steady heartbeat of God is a heartbeat of love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Greater love has no one than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God makes the first move. It's what love does. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Love sees a need and moves towards it. And love is not a matter of feelings and emotions as much as it is an act of the will. Love, I think, is the glory and goal of being a follower of Jesus, and love has very little to do with how I feel or what I prefer. All right, I'll confess something to all of you. I don't love the poor. It's maybe a weird confession for somebody who leads an organization who's dedicated to serving the poor. But it's the truth. I'm not naturally drawn to enjoy people who are in need. I'd rather people just keep your stuff together and don't bother me, all right? Mother Teresa said she could see Jesus in the poor. I don't have that gift. Instead, when I get near the poor, I see generational poverty. I see poor financial choices, low education, family brokenness and dysfunction, unwise relationships, drug addiction, substance abuse, mental illness, physical illness, on and on and on. And maybe you have a little red flag in your head and be like, wow, Wes has a heck of a lot of biases and prejudices. I hope that little red flag went off your head. And it's like, yeah, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I have to admit, though, I'm not inclined to serve the poor or be drawn to them. I think maybe that's exactly why God called me to serve at Lafayette Urban Ministry, because it seems like all my life he's been trying to teach me that love is not about what I feel and what I prefer. God often has drawn me and called me to serve people I don't naturally like. But love, I love this definition. To love is to will the good of the other. It's from the 13th century, Thomas Aquinas. To will the good of the other. Love, it turns out, is a choice. Love is a choice. And that's often where I get tripped up, because I think of love like this. It starts in my heart with some warm feeling of affection I have towards somebody, some little tingly thing. And then it causes me to reach out and to do something amazing for somebody else. Guess how often I love like that? Not very often. If I just wait on my own feelings and preferences. I think a much more biblical, Christ-centered way of looking at love is love like this, where my mind is transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I realize love has been shown to me in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When I understand I am unconditionally loved, that starts to transform how I look at the world, understand myself, understand the world, and that starts to transform how I go out and serve others, the head, the heart, the hands. I think it really starts with faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When I understand love in this way, it's not all based on what I feel and prefer. It's much more an intentional choice. I see a need, I will go and be proximate to it. I will serve. Because as I serve, I'm serving Jesus himself. This is kind of freeing because it helps me see I don't have to like somebody in order to love them. I don't have to agree with them. They don't have to agree with me. I can still will the good of the other. And Jesus is smart enough to know I'm not able to do this on my own. That's the whole point of the Holy Spirit, to empower us to love in this way. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Holy Spirit comes, starts to transform us, transform our minds, transform our thinking, our feeling, and our doing. So back to my encounter with this homeless person on Halloween. I wasn't even sure if he was conscious. Turns out he was. He was just very cold, very hungry, very thirsty. And he was very tired because the night before he'd slept under an overpass. A friend of mine showed up on the scene and kind of gave me this look like, what do we do? Like, I don't know. I didn't know what to do. I knew that there was a day shelter a few blocks away, LTHC. I asked, hey, can we help you get to the day shelter? He said, no, I can't go there. I have a no trespass on me, meaning I'm not allowed there. I knew there was a gas station about a block away. I said, well, at least I can go get you something hot to drink. I was thinking about this. And then it dawned on me, and I'm not joking. It took a couple minutes for me to realize this. There's this place downtown where we meet people's needs and provide beds for people who are experiencing homelessness. It's called Lafayette Urban Ministry. Happens to be where I was going. Happens to be where I work every day. So I invited the guy to come with me back to the office and told him we could get him a sack lunch, we could get him something hot to drink, and see if he could get a bed for the night. So I'm walking with him. He's pushing his bike and his cart along. I learn his name, how long he's been in Lafayette. Learn that he has several siblings. He feels rejected by his family. Get him into the lobby and starts to warm up a little. I get him a sack lunch and he says, hey, do you have any gloves? I go to look for some gloves for him. He asks for a cup of coffee. I get him some coffee and put 3 sugar packets in it and I bring him the coffee. Can I have 4 more sugar packets? Okay, I can get you 4 more. And the man sat there and warmed up, sipping his highly sugared coffee. I could see the heaviness just start to lift off of him. The hood comes back. You see the full face. His human dignity was restored. For me, it's a humbling story because I realized there was nothing magical in my heart that wanted to help this man. It wasn't some warm feeling of affection towards this person laying on his back beside the sidewalk. But by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit helped me just to choose to seek this person's best interests. And through the partnership of Riverside Covenant and 50 other churches, we actually have a place in town where we can invite people to be fed, to get highly sugared coffee if need be, to have an overnight place to get in out of the cold. Together, we are living in intentional proximity towards those in Tippecanoe New County who are experiencing homelessness, who are needing immigration help, needing financial assistance, needing food assistance, and much more. All glory to God. When we are intentionally close to the poor, we are intentionally close to Jesus himself. It's what we do for the least of these, we do for Jesus himself. So some questions for you, my siblings in Christ at Riverside Covenant. Where is God inviting you to see Jesus in his most distressing disguises in your life? In what ways is the Spirit inviting you to choose to will the good of the other? And at Riverside Covenant Church, how is intentionally living in proximity to the hungry and thirsty and homeless and lonely and needy in your midst? How is that going to set the course for the future of this congregation? May you lean in and listen to our leader, Jesus Christ, who challenges us to see him in the least, the last, the lost, the lonely. And may you obey our Lord, so that at the end of your life, when God is separating the sheep and the goats, you hear your master saying, come, receive your inheritance, the kingdom of your Father. For how you treated the least of these, you treated me. Let's pray. Jesus, I think of your servant, Mother Teresa, and that you did it to me. You did it to me. I pray that that would stick with us. And when we are repulsed by the needs of others, the smell of others, the bad manners, or the ugliness of others, we would, rather than be repulsed, we would be reminded of the fact that how we treat people in that situation is how we treat you. God, open our eyes to see you in your most distressing disguises all around us. I pray for Riverside Covenant Church. God, you are clearly blessing and guiding this congregation. Continue, Lord, as they lean into being proximate to you and to one another and to this community and to the world. Guide them and give them joy that serving the poor would not be some drudgery of duty, but would actually be an exercise of joy and glory. This I pray in Jesus' name.